A very good morning to you. Welcome in to today's programme. We're going to give you a chance to perhaps win today.
Stop the tank with Sweeney Oil and win a €300 Sweeney Oil voucher and a Magnet monitor only on Galway Bay FM.
So in association with Sweeney Oil, we're giving you a chance to win. You could be winning yourself a €25 voucher indeed for use at Sweeney Oil or in any Sweeney Oil service station as well. The end of the week, which is tomorrow, we'll be giving some one of you indeed that daily winners. And one winner will get their daily voucher upgraded to a Magnus monitor, which is free for 1 year. So it monitors the oil in your tank and texts you or emails you when you're running that little bit low and allows you then to contact Sweeney Oil. And also you'll be in with the chance to win a €300 Sweeney Oil voucher as well. And all you have to do is listen to me right now. So I'm going to give you a number. I'm going to write it down here as well. And this is the first number of litres that I'm putting into the tank. So it's 133 is what I've put in this hour. And in the next hour then, just around the same time next hour, could be later, could be earlier, whatever. Could be this hour as well, by the way. I'm going to give you a second amount. You add the two together, then you text the final amount into 086 38 33 55 3, and you could win yourself the €25 voucher, but be in with a chance to win, to be in with a chance indeed to win that overall prize, €300 Sweeney Oil voucher and the Magnus monitor for 1 year as well. So there you go. Further details can be had, by the way, and anything that we talk about, you can get further details from sweeneyoil.ie. That's sweeneyoil.ie for further details. There are some terms and conditions, and you can ring them free of charge on 1800 555 999. That's 1800 555 999 for further details there.
Stop the tank with Sweeney Oil and win a €300 Sweeney Oil voucher and a Magnus monitor only on Galway Bay FM.
Now we're getting called in. There's a crash at the Galway Clinic roundabout there. There's no roundabout there, but at the junction there. And another caller said, just to let you know, there's a car accident in Loughrea as well. Please tell people to slow down. And Keith, there's a scam going around from someone who pretended to be from Vodafone. I'm an elderly lady and I received 3 text messages and brought it into the shop and they told me that it was a scam, so just ignore it. There's a 3-car crash at the traffic lights on the Tuam Road that's been cleared, as you heard on news there, and the car overturned on the M17 motorway, and they're at that currently and they're in the process of removing it. It's just really and truly an extremely tough morning for driving out there, so take it easy on the roads, everybody that's heading on the roads today. Now then, let me move on, because we got a lovely email overnight from a 13-year-old girl who wants to start a petition. Her name, by the way, is Nicola Redinger, and I spoke to her before I came on air because she was going to school, and I asked her, what is she trying to do now?
Good morning.
Tell me about your project. You're not looking for donations now or otherwise, but you want a very special feature in Tuam. What are you looking for?
I'm looking for a dog park in Tuam. And I'm looking only for signatures.
When you say a dog park, what is a dog park, please?
A dog park is kind of, we're just looking for like an enclosed area with like a few obstacle courses. We've asked the tire places for tires and they're going to donate, and we're going to try and get some pallets and stuff to make little obstacle courses for the dogs to socialise and that. And we're also looking for maybe like a small area for dogs. Small dogs and a big area for bigger dogs.
So this would be where you could bring your pet and you could teach them to do tricks and otherwise and entertain them in a dog park. It's a lovely idea.
Yeah.
Now you have 630 written signatures and 134 digital signatures so far. So there's great interest, Nicola, in this.
Yeah, there really is.
So how?
A lot of people want this because a lot of people think that it's needed in the town, not just for people who have dogs, for more people who don't have dogs, who are scared or worried that they're going to be bitten, or they're just scared of the dogs themselves.
And where did you come up with this idea, can I ask you, Nicola? Because it's a very good idea, but what made you think of this at 13 years of age?
So last year, a friend and I were walking our dogs and we kind of thought, like, there's no area to let the dog off. And then this year, I also had that problem where I got a dog and we couldn't let it off at all because we're too scared it's going to run away. So we're thinking of just an in-gated area for the dogs to run around and be safe and not interfere with other people who are walking.
And do you know where you'd like to put it? Have you identified the land or where you'd like to put it?
We haven't identified where we want it, but we're hoping to get it in the Palace Grounds Park. Because there's a lot of space.
And it doesn't have to be too big, but it needs to be big enough so that a few dogs and dog owners can avail of it.
Yeah.
So where do we go next, Nicola?
We're hoping, we're going to try hit over 1,000. Maybe, hopefully, we're at 1,025 now.
Yeah.
And we're hoping to get way over, like, maybe to 5,000 signatures before getting to any other people. But we've had lots of people helping and supporting as well with taking papers to get people to sign and helping around and talking to others and all that. And we also have an online petition and we're at 475 signatures as well.
So tell me, where can they sign the petition for you? Either on paper in person or online on the digital one, where they can do that?
So on Saturday, we're going to Cara Boyle in Shum, and we're going to be there for around 2 hours. I think we'll go around like 10 o'clock till like 1 o'clock.
Okay.
And then we'll hopefully get some more signatures. My mom has a Facebook page and she put up the signature, online signatures on the page so that people could go on and have a look and hopefully sign.
So they can go on to mom's Facebook page and your surname is Redinger, but it's R-I-E-D-I-N-G-E-R if they want to go on and sign from there. Or else you'll be in Cara Boyle's this coming Saturday morning between 10 and 1 o'clock and you want the signatures. And then will you give those signatures to the local councillors and politicians and say, this is what I want. I want a dog park in June.
Yeah.
Are you hopeful?
I'm very hopeful.
What would you call the dog park if you did get it up and running?
I'll hopefully call it like Tube Dog Park, Palace Grounds, if we get it in the Palace Grounds, and then maybe like either my name, if I was allowed to name it, or maybe a made up name, like there's one in Claire Morris called Wolfland.
Wolfland,
like
excuse me.
Yeah, Wolfland. Wolfland.
You could call it Chumland, yeah. So you could altogether. Or you could call it after,
yeah.
Call it after yourself, call it after the Saw Doctors. You could do anything. You could do anything you want.
Yeah.
Listen, I better let you go to school today, but will you keep in contact with us and let us know how you're getting on with the campaign? A dog park. There is one in Claire Morris, as you said, and there's a few more just around the country as well. But it would give people confidence to bring dogs in there and have some quality time with their animals. Nicola, thanks to you and thanks to your mom as well for allowing you to talk to us today. But thank you very much for joining
us.
Thank you. See you, Nicola. Have a good day and enjoy school.
Bye.
She was full of energy, so she was this morning. But thanks to her mom indeed, who's an absolute lady for allowing us to record that at 8 o'clock this morning, just before she went off to school. So just to recap again, because mom has been back on to us again, Nicola's going to be at Cara Boyle and Tune from 9 a.m. until 12 on Saturday, and then from 4 p.m. until 7 p.m. And there's also forms in the local pet shop in Tune, the Leisure Centre and Mannion's Mace as well there. And what they're really trying to do there is get a Tune dog park with a gated off-leash, an off-leash area within the palace grounds for dogs to play and bond with each other and just to give them a bit of exercise as well. But Nicola's only 13 and she starts that petition to get a dog park in Tune because she believes it would benefit not only Tune but many areas in the area as well. So there you go. If you can help at all, she's going to be in Cara Boyle in Tune from 9 to 12 on Saturday. She's then taking a rest and a break and she'll be back there then from 4 p.m. until 7 p.m. trying to get as many signatures as possible from there. That's just a lovely, lovely, lovely story. It really and truly is. Now though, can I give you a chance to win today? Because I told you about the National Breast Cancer Research Institute, which is based in the Lamb Institute in University of Galway. And on Monday morning, we had Kieran Hogarth, the president of NUI Galway, or University of Galway, excuse me. And he was talking about the wonderful research that they're doing because of the funding that they're getting from the NBCRI. So the NBCRI need as much money as possible. So to that end, they're having an afternoon tea at the G Hotel. Now, the whole event is taking place, and Maura Doyle and her husband Tom Doyle are putting this together. And Maura puts a lot of work into this on an annual basis. But it's taking place in the G Hotel in Galway on Sunday, the 8th of October. It's a tea and tea at the G in aid of the National Breast Cancer Research Institute. And the event kicks off at 3 p.m. with sparkling reception, and then you have entertainment, and you've got Nicola Maguire, and you've got the choir, the Upfit choir there as well. Tickets are €55, and most of that money goes directly to the NBCRI, so that's what they're raising money for. So if you want to get further details, www.t@theg.ie. That's T at the G as in T-E-A, not just T. It's T-E-A-A-T-T-H-E-G.ie. And you can get further details by just even Googling it and getting details from there. But if you fancy going along, we have a pair of tickets. So we have at €55 each, we have €110 worth of tickets to give you a chance to win today. Just text the word pink and do so straight away to 086 38 33 55 3. That's 086 38 33 55 3 and do so straight away. We're getting another call too in about that crash at the Galway Clinic junction there. I wouldn't mind what we said this morning. We got a call this morning saying it was running well. There was no problems. Now we get a call to say there's a crash there. So if you have any other motoring news for us, and I'm just looking at driving currently conditions. I'm just looking at Galway here, so I am on the system. And currently there's quite a bit of traffic in and around town as well. The Tuam Road outbound and inbound, it seems, certainly outbound seems to be. Now that's as a result of the accident at Fleming's there. So that whole junction seems to be a bit of a problem. And then you've got the old Dublin Road coming in by Morrook and coming into Bormore. It's from, say, the G, from the ATU there all the way into town. There seems to be a problem in Newcastle there as well with when it comes to traffic. Again, you come across, you come in the N59, you cross the bridge there, and it seems to be in and around that general area. So, and also in Cairnmore, there seems to be, and then there's a black spot altogether, which is adjacent to Cairnmore. I just don't know what it is, but it seems to be a major problem there just at the motorway there. So just try and avoid that area, if at all possible. Oh, it's rain and problems this morning. So it is TII have just closed the motorway, by the way. So from the Coolock roundabout all the way to the M6 junction there at Oranmore, they've closed it all the way out there. So they have, so TII have closed the junction 19 Glenescall to N67 Coolock roundabout because of a collision reported at 10:03 a.m. this morning. And so we have it here just coming in from TII to us this morning. So it seems to be inbound, is what it looks like. So it's, yeah, the Glenescall to Coolock roundabout. So inbound, so you're going to have to get off and come in the old Dublin Road from there. We had a very worried and concerned lady on the phone to us just now. There was a lady on Virgin Media News this morning claiming she is a witch and she's opening a cafe in Galway. She looks like she's on the dark side. I don't think this should happen. Please look into it. The dark side. Anyway, the lady in question, by the way, is Billy Bryan, and she was on Virgin Media. It is her plan, by the way, a witch who practices sex magic to give herself and her partners maximum pleasure, praises witchcraft for turning her life around after being flat broke in 2020. She's the founder and president of a not-for-profit organization and a cafe owner originally from the Cayman Islands, now living in Galway with one of her partners. And she got into witchcraft and all that goes with it. We were due to have her on the program. She was booked. She was booked for the program to join us a couple of weeks ago. And for the first time in my lifetime, and I'm 33 years at this job here, we were asked for a fee. And John Morley said no. He refused to authorise the fee for her to come in to tell us exactly what she was going to do. So that's why she didn't come on the air. So maybe Virgin Media did pay her, but we couldn't and didn't pay her. We've never paid a guest in our lifetime. Don't look so solemn, John. You said no. It's okay. It's all right. So there you go. Speaking of one situation to another, let me go to Dave O'Connell, who joins me on the line today. Dave, morning to you.
I thought you were going to say going from one witch to another. am I not getting paid for this?
No, you're not.
Sean Morley promised me money and pints as well. So this is shocking.
It's the new trading. You know, we have Bitcoin and we have everything else. And then we have his denomination is pints. So it is. Listen, you have a full kind of Tribune today. So you have, but your lead story is of a hospital patient who was waiting. Wait for this, 3 years to be discharged, even though they were healthy enough to go home. What a story.
An extraordinary story, Keith. It really is. As you say, a person deemed medically fit to leave a public hospital in Galway has spent over 1,150 days, as you say, comfortably over 3 years, in a bed on a ward due to what is called the complex problem of delayed discharge. In other words, facilities needed at home to look after the person there. So medically fit to go home, but presumably not fit to look after themselves on their own in their own home. But this person is one of 26 adults who were in GUH last month who were medically fit for discharge, but for, and I'm quoting, varied reasons cannot be cared for at home and remain in hospitals because of the lack of much needed alternative placements to meet their needs. Presumably, again, that could be step down facilities or it could be care within the home. But all of this is from Anne Cosgrove, who, as you know, is the chief operating officer of the Saolta Group. Portiuncle, the discharge of a further 7 patients there has been delayed, and the length of their stays on general medical wards ranged from 5 days, that's okay, to 742 days. It's crazy. I mean, the cold word for this, and it's a terrible word, is bed blockers, but I'd hazard a guess that these people would be the very first to leave hospital if they could. So they're blocking nothing. It's the system that's letting them down, and that's the front page story.
And the system is that if they want to be discharged from hospital, which the hospital would love to do, the facilities at home aren't there. But it's one organ of the state not talking to the other organ of the state to try and pull the whole thing together. And unfortunately, that's it in one. We had a similar situation ourselves many years ago now. Listen, you have a court case on page 3 of a Garda Síochána member jailed for spying on 2 female colleagues in the workplace.
Yeah, we covered this before. Micheál Mannion was sentenced to 6 months after he was convicted earlier this year of 2 charges of harassing 2 female colleagues at Clifton Garda Station, contrary to Section 10 of the Non-Fatal Offences Against the Persons Act. Now, camera footage was played in court previously. It showed him on 6 occasions climbing an outdoor steel railing to look in the women's dressing room at Clifton Garda Station. He has apologised now, but the victims told the district court this week how this has impacted on their lives, both personally and professionally, and it is very harrowing. The Garda himself has been on suspension since the investigation began. He is still free on appeal on this one, but the case is carried in full on page 3.
Now, COPE Galway's annual report also features, and it makes for shocking reading too.
It does, as you've done yourself, COPE revealing that they have dealt with an average of 10 crisis calls per day as the demand for their services surged by over a fifth in just 12 months. This is their annual report, as I say, released yesterday. COPE Galway revealed that just under 850 women and 226 children and young people in the city and county were supported by their domestic abuse service in 2022. 10 calls a day we're not a big city and we're not a big county. That is a hell of an indictment. There's much more in the report, and indeed much more to their services, but as I say, that's the shocking headline on it, and it's on page 5.
What else have you got for us in today's Bumper Connacht Tribune?
Loads in there, Keith. In sport, it's the county football championships proceeding to quarterfinals. We know the last 4 in the hurling. I suppose the focus very much on in sport on soccer this week, because Galway United into the final 4 in the FAI Cup at home to Bohemians this weekend. That's part of it also. We had a lovely weekend last weekend with Tommy Callaghan, the former manager back, former Galway Rovers manager back after 44 years in town. And quite fittingly, he was spoiled by loads of his old friends and colleagues on that. As well as that, loads on the Ballinasloe Fair, the best of our food and drink producers with their Blast na Héireann Awards, 4 other pages from the district courts, and still problems with the school bus transport scheme over a month into the new school year, and that's covered on a couple of fronts, and a more than yourself, plenty as well, and a good week for Galway on the jobs front.
Well done, Dave. And listen, well done to you. Congratulations. They can get further details. They can get it online so they can, and they can get to your local news agents or just go to the Connacht Tribune website from there. And I'm delighted, by the way, I witnessed an absolute miracle last Sunday. I saw you actually taking a walk on the grounds of the college as I drove by in my car, not walking, but it's a miracle of miracles, and I have to compliment you.
I could be walking again today with all of the road reports that you have. I'd say I'll be home a lot quicker than I would be if I was driving.
Don't even go there, Dave. Conal, thank you for joining us today. There it was. And no, we had walked the college and the canals on Sunday. I love to do that on Sunday, clear the head and be ready for Monday. And lo and behold, driving out of the college. And who was there? Going for a healthy walk? I didn't ask him where I was going, or otherwise. The bold Dave, there he was. Now the comment lines are open. And we're still getting calls, by the way, about other issues to do with the roads as well. Yeah, the be careful at the clinic area, that junction. We're getting called in on that today. It's just one of those days. Really, it's just one of those days. So it is from there. Now, though, let me move on today, because I want to go and try and do this and this and see, can I get this to work? Because the Samaritans are looking for your assistance as well. How do you fancy getting involved in the Samaritans as well? But, I mean, we're looking at it shortly, so we are. Catherine Emerson will be joining us there as well. Because there's an increase in the numbers contacting the Samaritans on last year. Catherine Emerson is the director of GalwaySamaritans.ie, and again, all volunteers, I have to say. But there was a huge rise in the numbers of people who contact the Samaritans last year. More than 500,000 calls and emails were answered in 2022 compared to 490,000 the previous year. That's 10,000 of an increase. And Catherine joins me on the line. Catherine, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thanks for joining us today. Again, a crucial and critical service the volunteers in the Samaritans provide.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think it's really important to note that not only did we take more calls last year, but our calls got longer. On average, the call that when we spoke to somebody last year, we were speaking to somebody for 25 minutes, and the year before it was only 20. So not only are more people talking to us, but they're talking to us for longer.
And again, it's when we talk about talking, these people, and we spoke about this with one of your colleagues recently, these people don't ring for the fun of it. They're low, they're mentally low, they're worried, they're bothered, they're concerned. And they just need to talk to somebody, to talk to them.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely right. The calls that we get, the vast majority of the calls that we take are people who are going through physical or mental health difficulties. And a third of the calls that we took last year, some that mentioned loneliness and isolation. And those are the main reasons why people ring us, that they're low, they're isolated, they're unwell, and they don't have anyone to turn to, particularly in the middle of the night.
Yeah, and that's when you would get a lot of your calls, so you would be evening time and night time and through the night then. But at
evening,
least
exactly. And also we have partnerships with some services that close. So we have partnerships with lines like LGBT, Aware, Alone. And some of those services, they can't staff their lines through the night. So when they close, they divert into us. And a good 500 calls or something last year we took from those lines.
500, was it? I mean, the total amount of calls, as I read off the top there, Catherine, was 500,000. Up 10,000 on the previous year, which is 490,000. So, I mean, it's a significant amount of calls to be taking.
It's a significant amount of calls, particularly when you think that we do it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we do it all with volunteers. So we have 13 branches in the Republic of Ireland, and those 13 branches between us, we keep the lines open day and night all year round for people who want to talk to us when they're going through a tough time.
You can't do so though without volunteers, and that is the baseline, so it is, for the Samaritans.
Absolutely. And do you know, we could take more calls. We could take more calls if we had more volunteers. One of the things we've done in Galway this year is we've opened a service in Castlebar so that we can recruit people in Mayo to take calls, so that people who couldn't necessarily travel to Galway would be able to take calls, you know, in a safe, protected environment where they have the support of another volunteer closer to their home. And there's a couple of satellite branches like that have opened in, as I say, we've opened one in Castlebar, there's one opened in Carlow, and there is one opened in Clonakilty. And by doing that, we hope that we can get more volunteers to answer calls, because, as I say, I mean, it was 500,000 calls last year, but it could be a lot more. I mean, our lines are always busy, and particularly in the middle of the night.
I mean, when you take that 500,000 and then just divide it by 365, which is the amount of days in a year, you're looking at 1,369 calls per day, and you're talking about an average of 13 locations. That's nearly 100 calls per location per day.
I can't do the maths, I'm afraid. I do know that we take about around between 2,000 and 2,500 calls in Galway every month. So we would be one of the bigger branches in Ireland, and therefore we're open more often, and we take about 2,500 calls every month, plus emails, and occasionally also people drop in to talk to us. So you can do that too. You can call into us in 14 Nuns Ireland, and if you do want to just sit down and have a chat about what's on your mind, we can do that.
And the beauty of the Samaritans right across the world and in Ireland, the beauty of it is that non-judgmental, you listen. You don't give advice. You don't tell them, oh, you should walk out and leave them. You don't do any of that. It's non-judgmental.
Mm-hmm. It's really, really powerful to have somebody just sit and listen to your story and see the world from your point of view. It makes a huge difference to people. One of the great things as well is because we're confidential and we're anonymous, so we're not involved in the story. You can talk to a Samaritan and you don't need to worry about hurting their feelings or making them feel like they're not good enough. They're not somebody who's involved in your life, so you can talk to them.
Mm. How are you for volunteers, can I ask you now, or is that a separate conversation we should be having?
We are always looking for volunteers. We have just started training in Galway. Started last night, so we've 20 plus volunteers starting training in Galway, and we are currently recruiting in Castlebar. So if anyone knows anyone in Mayo who would like to join Mayo Samaritans, we're looking for volunteers in Mayo. We recruit twice a year, so if you miss the Galway training, the next one will be sometime in February, I guess. But we are always looking for volunteers because it's hard work and it doesn't fit in with everyone's life. So we need to recruit volunteers all the time just to keep our lines open.
So if they want to volunteer for Castlebar, what should they do then, Catherine?
What they should do is email recruitment@galwaysamaritans.ie, and that will put them in touch with Sean, who I think you met before.
Yeah.
And he'll point them in the direction of our next open meeting and information sessions. And we would love to have you if you're interested at all in listening to people without judgment or pressure or prejudice, and you have 3 or 4 hours in the week to give and to travel into Castlebar. It would be great to see you. And I know you're listening to this in Galway, so you might not actually be in Castlebar, but if you know somebody who can do that sort of work and can be in Castlebar, it would be lovely to have you.
Mm. It's a critical service that we have. And we were talking earlier on about addictions. We were talking about, indeed, betting and people betting and losing money and losing... Like, there are so many pressures between, addictions, be it drugs or be it whatever it is, alcohol, drugs, betting, whatever it is, it doesn't make any odds. There's just so many pressures on people at this stage that it's great to have the Samaritans doing what you're doing. Thank you, Catherine, for joining us. So just that email again to get through is
recruitment@galwaysamaritans.ie.
recruitment@galwaysamaritans.ie for further details from there. Listen, well done to you, Catherine. Thank you for joining us, and I hope
thanks so much.
A good and a safe day. Thank you for joining us today. Keith, traffic is backed up on the motorway for miles due to the crash, and there are no Gardaí at the scene. This is absolutely ridiculous. Why are they not out doing their jobs, this caller said. I'm looking at it here. It's traffic is just manic on the motorway coming in. and it's not getting any better as well. I suggest you get off at the M6 junction. If you're coming from Dublin, I suggest you get off at the M6 junction and make your way in the old Dublin Road at that stage and come in all the way. Because it's get off at Oran Mór, and that's where it's blocked from there. Get off. If you want to get off the previous one, come in the old road, do that as well. But it's going to be blocked for a while because they're doing their best to remove the vehicle and get it cleaned up as well. And it doesn't happen very quickly, does it? No, not in the motorway. I just hope everybody's okay. Keep those notices coming into us, by the way, of issues with cars and or otherwise, to 086 38 33 55 3. And also don't forget to send the word pink if you fancy going to that event in the G Hotel on Sunday the 8th of October. Now, just to recap for you again, inbound on the motorway, there is an issue currently. So, we're just getting the information on the screen as we stand. So, just effectively, as of 10:03 this morning, the road is closed at Junction 9 Glenescall to the N67 Coolock roundabout because of a collision there. I hope everybody is okay in that. It's only after happening 40 minutes ago, so I hope everybody's okay. That's the most important thing. There is now then, so you come off the roundabout there, or you come into the new junction there at the Galway Clinic, and there's a crash there as well. And then you come a little further into Fleming's and there's a crash there. So just be careful. Just be careful in that general area. Now, Jack and Jill have helped an awful lot of families from the Galway area. And they have a lovely understanding currently with the team in Circle K when it's Bricks for Care initiative. And basically what you can do is, and it's finishing, so it is on the 31st of October, and you can go to various Circle K locations, and if you have any old Lego bricks and or otherwise, you can basically just donate them there and they'll recycle them. And they'll sell them and get them back on the road again. I spoke, though, before I came on air this morning, to Vanessa O'Connor, who's a parent who's availing of the Jack and Jill Foundation and the great work that they do with her and her family.
Good morning, Keith. Good morning.
Thanks for joining us today. You've been a friend and you've been using the services, indeed, of the Jack and Jill Foundation for a number of years because you've got a wonderful 3-year-old daughter, Hannah.
Well, it all really started back in the end of 2020. You know, I was expecting my second child, Hannah, and I was around 27 weeks pregnant when I felt a little bit uncomfortable, and I knew something wasn't going on, but I wasn't too alert. So I said, I'll just get myself checked out. I wasn't really too concerned. You know, I had similar, we'll say, pains with my first. So I said, oh, I'll just get myself checked out. Probably they'll just say a little bit of bed rest and I can continue on with my pregnancy, until they actually told me that I was in fact in labour and that baby was coming whether I liked it or not. So unfortunately Hannah was born at 27 weeks plus 2 days, and you know, it all kind of went a bit downhill, I suppose, from there. You know, she had a bit of complications with her breathing, and so she had to be, I had her in Portumkla Hospital, but they had to transfer her to the NICU in Galway quite quickly, where she stayed for a number of weeks in there. And then she wasn't developing as an atypical premature baby, so they said that they would like to do a few tests and see what other conditions or other health complications could Hannah be suffering, until they found a heart condition. So, you know, give her a few times until she was strong enough and big enough, and she was transferred to Crumblin. She got the heart fixed, and within a number of days then she was discharged from the hospital and we could bring her home. And from then I thought, you know, she's home with us, so we could continue our life as a family of four, until I noticed that she just wasn't developing as a baby should. Now, taking into account she was premature and she did have a heart condition, you know, the doctors were just reassuring me, telling me to give her more time and she'll come along. And she'll soon be a regular baby, so to say. Mm. But as the time went on, I noticed that things weren't just sitting right with me. And I expressed my concerns again with her doctors, which they were very happy to help and to reassure me and saying things are fine, but we're going to look into more into Hannah's health conditions and see what else could be affecting her. So they just did a CT scan, MRI scans, and that's when, you know, they came to the conclusion that there was a brain bleed. Now, it is common for premature babies to have little brain bleeds, but this one now just affected Hannah's brain tremendously. You know, it wasn't something that she could go out of, or it'll soon go away. So, in fact, that this brain bleed, so she was diagnosed then with cerebral palsy.
So really and truly, the kitchen sink was thrown at poor Hannah.
Literally, everything was thrown at her. You know, compared to my first, you know, she was a breeze. You know, she was really a textbook baby. So we just assumed that, you know, baby number two, Hannah, was going to be the same, really. But, you know, since being born extremely prematurely, and then everything just seemed to fall on poor little Hannah with a heart condition. You know, her lungs weren't developed, and now this brain condition, which is linked then with the cerebral palsy.
And how is she doing now?
Well, when she was about a year and a half old, you know, with all this new information we were receiving, it was very daunting. It was very daunting to us, very scary, and we didn't know how we were going to cope. You know, Hannah was a very demanding baby, so to say. So we weren't, you know, she was coping in her own way, but, you know, it was very, very slow for us. You know, she was a year and a half, so to say, but she was still acting like a newborn baby. You know, she was still with bottles, she wasn't feeding great, and she still had all this medication to take. So it was very hard for us as a family, and especially, you know, as a mom, to see your daughter struggling so much. So that's when my public health nurse, which is also Hannah's speech and language therapist at the time, she just said to me, look, there is help out there. You don't need to do this all by yourself, which I was quite, you know, skeptical at first, because I was like, I'm her mom. I should be able to do all this. No one else seems to be having troubles with their kids. Why should I have to be looking for help? But it just got to a point where I wasn't. I was physically and mentally and emotionally just burnt out. So that's when Kathy got linked in with us, and she just assessed our situation, and she did say that, you know, a few hours a week from the Jack and Jill organization would help us. And then that's when, you know, Liz came along and just helped us. Obviously, you know, at the beginning we were trying to get to know each other. She was from the area, so to say, but I don't know her. I haven't heard about her. So we were just kind of getting to know each other. And also, you know, you're letting in a person to see your vulnerable side and a very fragile side of yourself. But there was no hesitation from her. There was no judgment. She just comes in and she just asks me what needs to be done or what help could she offer. And it was just like literally a breath of fresh air when Liz came into our lives. It's an extra pair of hands. You know, I do have my parents that they come around and help us as much, but, like, you know, they have to live their lives as well. Mm. They love their grandchildren and everything, but they also, you know, have their own lives and their own enjoyments and hobbies to live.
Absolutely.
So with Liz asking her for help, it doesn't feel so so upsetting, I suppose.
Yeah.
You don't feel so you know, angry or anything to be asking for help. So Liz just comes around, and it's an extra pair of hands for us.
So Vanessa, has Jack and Jill then changed the family dynamic then by giving you the space, the couple of hours, as you say, a week, and the fact that Liz Kane comes in, does what she does, and you don't have to worry for that period of time?
Definitely. You know, Hannah's a baby that takes things 10 times slower. So feeding her takes a lot of time. Dressing her, you know, you have to be very careful with her. She's not as flexible as a baby would be or a toddler would be. So it takes that bit longer to do any activities with Hannah. And then I also have to, you know, keep in mind that I have a four-year-old, and now she's five, and she's doing things 10 times as fast. Mm. So when Liz comes in, she's either taking care of Hannah and going at a Hannah's pace. Like, if if she needs more time to feed, you know, I can leave Liz with Hannah and I can, you know, continue on the other activities with Heather, like dropping her to school or, you know, any extra activities that Heather would have in the evening. You know, Liz would come by and just take care of Hannah. You know, Hannah's not really she doesn't like any social activities. She's very kind of by herself and I know she gets overwhelmed quite a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So with Liz, you know, it's like she's a mammy herself, so she knows she could stay in the house. Or vice versa, maybe Hannah wanted to go out for a walk or something like that, and I'm just not feeling particularly keen on going outside. So, you know, Liz puts on Hannah's jacket and off they go for walks, and I can continue on with the household, so to say.
Mm. It really is. I know Circle K have been very good, and I know they announced the Brick for Care initiative in partnership with the Jack and Jill Foundation. It's been running since the 2nd of August and it's ending on the 31st of October. And it allows customers to donate and recycle pre-loved Lego bricks, indeed, at 22 participating Circle K stores. And nationwide, which campaign partners DPD then bring to the Jack and Jill boutiques so they can be resold and generate much needed funds for the charity. So if anybody wants to get further details on that, just go on to the Jack and Jill Foundation. But any help that you can give Jack and Jill at this stage, it's the likes of Vanessa O'Connor and Hannah and her family and her parents as well, and like everybody is affected when somebody needs that much attention in a household, but Jack and Jill are there for the family. So it's a lovely story, Vanessa, and I really hope that everything works out for Hannah and that she has a good quality of life.
Thank you very much. Thank you.